The title of today's message is, If Jesus Were Born in the 21st Century. Doesn't that sound good? Imagine Jesus walking around in a pair of jeans. If he lived in Texas, he has a pair of boots on. Driving a truck around. Think about that. What if Jesus were born in the 21st century? You see, when he was born, thousands of generations of people were born prior to him. And so, why didn't he wait even longer and be born with us? I'm going to tell you there's three reasons why that we're going to cover today. The first one has to do with technology. The second one has to do with advancement in the medical scientific world. And the third one has everything to do with mass communication, the mass communication that we have now. But let me lay the scriptural foundation, because the first couple words of the verse that I'm going to share with you is really the foundation, but I'm going to give you the full verse and then the verse after that. It's in Galatians chapter 4, verse 5, where it says, at the set time, at the set time. In other words, in God's grand calendar, there was a date circled, and that was the date. That was the set time when the Lord was to come to us. And so it reads like this, at the set time, the Lord gave his son Jesus to be born from a woman. He was born under the law. It was the law of the land. It was the law of the Old Testament when Moses was around, the Ten Commandments, and the other laws that was established during those times. He was born under the law, and he came to redeem you and I. To redeem means to buy back. You see, when he made man and woman in the Garden of Eden, the human beings were his children. But because Adam and Eve turned their face from the Lord, from that moment forward, there was sin in the world. And the Lord looks back and says, No, these are my children. I'm going to come onto the earth and I'm going to redeem them. I'm going to take them back. I'm going to be born. I'm going to put skin on. This is terrible. He had to have thought that. This is terrible. If anyone you love has ever died and they're in heaven, if they could come back for just a few minutes, they would say two things. Number one, they would say, I do not want to come back. Our physical bodies stink. Some of you literally. but they stink. I do not want to come back. And then secondly, they would say, heaven is real. Hell is real. Help us get people to heaven. That's what they would say. But anyway, what was I saying? What? God is what? Oh, yeah. Okay. in John 10:30, it says that God and the Father are one. They are one. So Jesus put on skin. He put on skin. He comes down to the earth and he's born and then he dies to redeem, to take us back. But he could have done that in the 21st century, but he chose not to. Why? First point is technology. Every single one of you has a cell phone. And most of us, if we left the house without our cell phone, would turn around and go back and get it. In fact, some of us, if you're sitting on the couch and you don't have your cell phone, it's in the kitchen, you're going to get up from the couch, go over there and get the cell phone and come back. Right? Thank you. You're going to come back. So you can watch on your cell phone, social media. You can just sit there and scroll. You'll never get to the end of the internet. You can just watch people and watch people. But the Lord says this, I don't want to come when people are watching on a screen. I want to come during a time where I establish relationships face to face. He wanted to show you and I, this is the kind of relationship that I want with you. I want a personal relationship with you. I don't want you to get to know me on a screen. I imagine, we don't have to imagine. Most of us know somebody who met someone on the internet and they're dating. And I've got a friend of mine. They've been married for quite some time. They got a phenomenal marriage. They met online. But imagine just for a minute, they meet online and one person says to the other, I'm ready to meet. And the other one goes, nah, this is good. No, this is not good. No, this is good. I like it. You see, the whole relationship cannot be established on the screen. It just can't happen. Jesus is like, that is not the relationship that I want with you. Him being broadcasted on television, you don't want a relationship like that. He doesn't want a relationship like that. There was a guy who played for the Los Angeles Lakers. He was the center of the Lakers just in the 90s. And I had determined that the guy was a complete jerk and I couldn't stand him. And I would tell people, the guy's a jerk. He's a jerk. Now, being a Celtics fan, you're supposed to say that about Lakers anyway. But I really did not like the guy. And then I go to the Rockets game. And I had a friend of mine give me really good tickets. And so while they were in the layup line, warming up before the game, I got to see all the players. And wouldn't you know, the guy that I've been calling a jerk for 10 years, clearly he was laughing, he was fun, he was giving people a high five, he was joking, he seemed to have more personality than everybody on the team. And I sat there and I thought, if I could be friends with anybody, I'd want to be friends with him. But looking at somebody on a screen, you can't have a relationship with them. And so if the Lord would have come in the 21st century, there's 7 billion people on the earth, and they would have a relationship with him on the screen. Now, why wasn't he born earlier than that? Well, Moses was the only one during a particular time period where he had a face-to-face relationship with God, and everybody else was like, we don't want that kind of relationship. We're scared of it. You go and have a face relationship with him face to face and come back and tell us what it's like. See, sometimes the Lord will hold you in a season, not because you're not ready. It's because the people he's sending you to are not ready. There's times where you'll say, God, I'm ready to move. And he's saying, you and I are going to spend some more personal time together. That's number one. But number two, I've got to prepare some people ahead of you. About a year and a half before I met my wife, I was in a season where I was not okay. I wasn't living for the Lord. You could look into my eyes and see this guy's not okay. Like he's in a dark place. Let me show you a picture of me in those days. Look at this. If you're a parent of a daughter, you don't want your daughter talking to that guy. Now here's, I didn't say this to the first service, but it just crossed my mind right now. I had to go get that particular picture taken because in those days, you could take a razor blade and cut open a driver's license and take the picture out and put a new picture in. That was my picture in those days. I was not at a good place. And I was about a year and a half, 2 years away from meeting my wife, Allie. I wasn't ready. Now let's look at Allie during the exact same time period. Look at this. Oh, you know, she's soft. She's nice. She's sweet. You can clearly see that. I belong in jail and she belongs. She's sweet. She's ready for she's a senior. She's ready to meet the guy. But I'm not ready yet. God had to prepare me for her. She was kind of in this place where she's developing a really awesome relationship with God, because waiting seasons are not wasteful seasons. Those seasons are for a purpose, but also God was preparing me. And now fast forward 2 years and take a look at this. Hey. Aww. Yeah. God had to prepare me. And you can see, for those of us that grew up in the 90s, I had my 90210 sideburns. Right? Nod at me if you grew up at 90210, yeah. And see, I had hair then. And look at Allie. She's been perfect since she was born. Here's the point. I wasn't ready. And the people before Jesus was born, they weren't ready. But they were ready then. He doesn't want technology. He wants a face-to-face. Here's the thing about the Lord, if you're taking notes. He is beyond the furthest star, but he's as close as your next breath. That's the relationship that he wanted to model and say, this is the kind of relationship I want. But that's number one, was technology today is a problem. Number two is the scientific advancements, the medical advancements. If we would have heard about the miracles that he did then, if he was doing it now, if he was walking around in today's world, we would explain them away. We would say, they were healed by cancer? Well, did they ever have radiation? Did they ever go see a doctor? This guy was blind and now they can see. Well, did they ever have like cataract surgery? Did they go get LASIK? How long were they blind? We would explain it away. But the Lord wanted to show up in a time where those scientific advancements did not exist, because he wanted us to know, I do miracles that are unexplainable. He wanted us to know that. Why did he want us to know that? Because you and I will go through seasons where nothing else will work except for a miracle. And the Lord said, I'm going to come during a time. You can't explain away these miracles. He wanted us to know that. Sometimes our miracles are external. We need a financial breakthrough. We need a job. Sometimes it's external, and there's people provoking us, making our life hard. And then sometimes it's internal. It's on our mind. It's in our heart. People don't even know. Watch this. You can be in a room full of people and feel completely alone. And these are the times where we're saying, I need a miracle. And the Lord says, I do miracles. Look back at what I've done. You can't explain it. You see, people who believe in the Lord see God everywhere. But people who do not don't see him anywhere. Mothers and fathers, if you've had a baby, you see God in that. I remember one of my oldest daughter was going to be born in just a few hours. And it was in the middle of the night where my wife was like, we got to go. Well, I was really enjoying my sleep. And it was like 3 a.m. And so I said, are you sure? She's like, I am sure. I'm like, are you 100% sure? because I don't want you like walking around the hospital trying to get this, you know. Bang! I came out. Okay. I'm ready. I got busted up. Let's go. We get there. She ends up having a baby in a few hours. I'm looking at the baby and I'm going, oh my God, you are incredible. How did this came out of her belly? How did this happen? A Christian sees God everywhere. A non-Christian goes, well, that is cool. What? When you're driving down the road and somebody cuts in front of you because they don't know how to drive, what do? Jesus! And then you go tell people, oh my gosh, I almost died and God helped me. Somebody else goes, oh my goodness, I was so lucky. Are you with me? Scientific advancements can come against a person to explain away miracles. It's like, no. I'm going to come during a time where you can't explain it. Number three, mass communication. In today's world, you can email people. You can communicate with everyone. But the Lord shows up and he's saying, give me 12. And then a little bit later, he says, give me 70. You see, he had 5,000 people or more following him all the time. In Mark 3:20, it says they were following him so much he didn't even have time to eat. And so he had critics following him, people that just, they show up and just sleep right through everything that he's talking about. And there's people that show up and they're just interested. They're not Christians per se, but they're interested. And then there's people who were truly followers. And he's saying, those of you who are followers and those of you who are interested and you end up becoming a part of the family, you're the ones that I'm going to send out. And in today's world, the people that would get sent out would try to do it on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. He's like, no. You are going to go, like in Luke 9:1, where he says he sends out the 70. And he says, I want you to go tell that the kingdom of God is near and heal the sick. And they came back to them and they were rejoicing. They were like, even demons respond when we talk. He's saying, I don't want mass communication in the 21st century. I don't want any Facebook. I want you to be a person that when you show up, there's something different about you. There's something different about you. You know what's fascinating about talking to a person face to face? It's been 2,000 years where one person has told another person who's told another person who's told another person who's told another person. 2,000 years, and now the baton has been passed to you. We pass it on to the next generation. It's our passion that passes it along. If you're not passionate, your kids won't be passionate. I'm just saying. And if they're not passionate, guess what? The story ends with you. 2,000 years. One person, talking to another person, talking to another person, talking to another person. Our generation comes. Let's go. And the Lord says, this is what I need. You know what's so interesting is that when I say this, we all feel this responsibility of, wow, God's called me to share this. But it is not like John the Baptist where you memorize scriptures and you walk up to him and you preach and you talk. Do you know when the most people come to me in the lobby or send an email and say, what you said today really blessed me? Do you know what's the most? Is when I stand up here and I talk about things that I'm struggling with and I'm fighting. And if you come to this church often, you hear me talking about how I wrestle with depression. That's my Achilles heel. That's my fight. I'm anointed to preach this, but I got to live it just like everybody else. And then somebody hears this. And this is the number one time where somebody comes up to me and says, thank you. And they forget the rest of the message. They don't forget that. And see, what's happening is that you're looking at me and you're going, hey, you fight things just like me, but you're passionate about God at the same time as you're fighting. I'm going to tell you the most effective thing when God sends you out and says, you're going to communicate for me. I don't want mass communication. I want personal communication. When you go out and you actually share what you're fighting, and then they see you, they're fighting. You told them you're fighting, and they still see you worshiping. That's when the Lord backs up and says, that is why I came over 2,000 years ago, because now this whole message is personal. I got a friend of mine. I talk to him all the time, all the time. He's a pastor, and I tell him, I'll change his name. He'll know it's him if he sees this, but I'll just change his name anyway. But I've said this to him more than a couple times. Jeff, you are the least transparent friend I have. The least. You're always doing awesome. But here's the thing. I know you're not always doing awesome. He goes, why do you say that? I said, because you have 5 kids. You have 5 kids. There's no way you're doing awesome all the time. And he starts laughing. And I was like, you're not doing awesome all the time. But when you talk to me, you're always doing awesome. And I was like, and that's okay. It's okay. That's fine. I'm trying to do some reverse psychology manipulation, you know, all that kind of stuff. When I'm blessed the most is when somebody says, I'm not doing good. But I see them still fighting. See, people will be attracted to you because of your strength, but they will be connected to you because of your weakness. Your weakness is something that the devil wants you to hide. But the Holy Spirit comes along and says, no, that is your best tool. To say, look, I'm human too. I'm hurting too. And then for them to watch you, worship him, long for him. You don't even have to say that part. Your actions will preach for you. And this is why he came over 2,000 years ago, because he's saying this message is not going to be shared on social media. This message I'm going to tuck into the hearts of men and women, and you are going to partner with me. We're going to walk together. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, he says this, he will keep you strong until the end. Those of you who are like, I don't think, God, if you don't come now, I'm going to burn in hell. I'm just telling you, I know I am not. And God says, no, I'm going to keep you strong into the end. And then he says this in verse 9, and God will do this because he always does what he promises to do. And then this is the best part, because he has called you to be in partnership with him. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. See, mass communication would be the worst thing for him. Because he's saying, I'm going to send you out. I want you to tell your story. So in summary, he did not come in the 21st century because he didn't want technology. He didn't want a relationship through technology. He wanted it face to face. Number 2, to convince us that he does miracles. There's no debate. And then number three, to send you and I on assignment. Did you know that there were about 200,000 to 300,000 people, 200,000 to 300,000 people on the earth when God was there? But today, there's 7 billion. Now, God, Jesus, can reach 200,000, 300,000 people because he lived in the Roman Empire, and 20% of the people on the earth were in the Roman Empire. So he could affect 20% of the earth. And Malcolm Gladwell says this in his book, Tipping Point, that a small group of people can change the whole. 10 to 20% of the people can change the 80%. So God says, the Lord says, give me 20% of the people. We can change everything. How did they do that? There was something called the Silk Road. And the Silk Road connected Asia, the Middle East. It connected all of the major urban areas. And they would walk down these roads or take wagon wheels down these roads to exchange silks and goods and sell back and forth to each other services and goods. And who would be standing on the sides of the road? God's children that dispersed from the Roman Empire, that saw it. And what do you think they said? This is where God saved me. You see, here's the thing. When you guys leave today, what are you going to probably remember? You're probably going to remember me saying that I fight depression. You're probably going to remember the face of me looking completely lost. That's what you're probably going to remember. You're not going to remember anything else. The Holy Spirit will cause the scriptures to come alive in your heart at the right time. But what are you finding out? You're finding this out. You've heard my story. And this mass communication is to say this. If you know anything, you know your story. And I'm going to partner with you. And that's why he wasn't born in the 21st century. Would you stand to your feet and give God a standing ovation? Come on, let's give him our best. Come on, let's give him our best. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. At this part of the service, I never really know how we're going to end. We do our best to think through every part of the service. But at this part, we never really know what we're going to do. And we're going to end just a little bit different. Usually we bring prayer partners down so you have somebody to pray with. But this time, we're going to bring the worship team on the stage. And we're just going to sing a couple more worship songs. My challenge to you is this. There's open dismissal. You can leave whenever you get ready. But let's sing this song at least a couple times through before anyone goes. Some of you may leave in 3 minutes. Some of you may leave in 10 minutes. You can leave whenever you get ready. But let's just worship him a little bit more. If you're in this room and it's been very awkward for you for the last 25 minutes of my message, maybe even the entire sermon or service, because you know that if your heart were to stop beating in the next 5 minutes, you're not ready to see the Lord. You're not ready because you know you don't have a relationship with him. And so as you're worshiping, if that's you, I want you to whisper to the Lord. I want you to open your mouth and confess. Just say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And from this moment forward, you're my Lord and Savior. Let me pray a blessing into your life. Go ahead and put your hands up. May the Lord bless you. May He keep you. May His face shine down upon you and be gracious to you. May His countenance be lifted up on you and bring you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.